This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Forever!
Comic books, comic time. Writers and artists are on the line. They make a splash as a comic's read and take us on a trip behind the spread. Watch out for comic book commentary. Spinning a winning inside fix, how they got a hot idea. Narrative, character, visual tricks, and onomatopoeia. It's comic book commentary.
Hi there. My name is Fred Van Lente. I write a lot of comic books. Most salient to this current recording is Silos number one, out today from Valiant. This is a book I'm really proud of, and I'm really happy that Ben invited me to come on and give my commentary for the first issue. I am going to assume you have read the issue. If you are reading along for the first time with my commentary, God bless you. But remember, there abound spoilers. Beginning here with the first page, we sort of see this sort of stunning work of Renato Guedes in the book. And he very much, to me, is really what makes Psylords, just because I started out with this book not knowing who the artist was, is typically the case in most mainstream comics. But he just brings such a beautiful photorealistic style, both to the expressions of the main characters and all this crazy alien tech we're going to be getting into. It's all just really terrific. And the first issue is obviously called Gods in Cages for reasons that will be obvious. And I also want to point out the great work of Dave Sharp, our letterer, who sort of took the gods thing pretty to heart. And so we have this mysterious character, Scion, who is speaking to us in these yellow type on black balloons in this very kind of Asgardian font. And what follows is an introduction of our four main characters, Tank, Beacon, Artisan, and Hazard. And they each get sort of their own page. We learn that they have all lost their memories, and they have been imprisoned in this strange facility that they don't understand what it is. So we established they have amnesia, and I've always been interested in identity and self as storytelling motifs. And really memory plays right into that, because I definitely am someone who thinks that what are we? What are what we call ourselves other than an accumulation of the things we've done plus the desires to do things that we haven't yet, right? We're always looking back at what we've done in the past and always looking forward to what we're going to do in the future. If you give characters amnesia, as I've done here, as I did to a lesser extent in a Marvel book I did called Taskmaster, that's about a character who with a super memory that overwrites his own personal memories to sort of make room for new files, if you will. I really enjoy doing that, dealing with memory as a theme. Although with amnesia, it can make the character sometimes a little hard to relate to, just because they don't know who they are. But by the same token, they're learning who they are at the same time the audience is learning who they are. So there's a sort of a nice symbiosis between between what the characters are learning and what the audience is learning, which often can be super rewarding and interesting. I really love Beacon's eyes on the last page of, or excuse me, last panel of page three, sort of another great sign, you know, how Renato is great at these, at these expressions, these photorealistic expressions he really excels at. I mean, the great thing about Renato is that, like, what you're seeing here is sans lettering is what I get in my email box. I send out the script, and then I get these beautifully, fully digitally painted artwork back. And it's just super thrilling each time. Once a week when Renato's pages show up in my inbox, it's a happy day. So we can see that from Beacon's memories here, she's some sort of a scholar. She doesn't remember what happened to her before she was operated on in this facility. Ditto for Artisan. If you turn the page, he's an engineer. He's a maker of some kind. Hazard is a bit of a wild cannon. She's very much the mercurial one of our quartet of heroes. In the script, they are just referred to as the quartet, by the way, not Psylords. They don't appear to be Psylords, but something else entirely imbued with the power of the Psylords. We can see here that she's got she seems to have spilled some blood here in her flashback. We don't know what that's all about. And they're talking to, she is talking, obviously this character who we don't see called Scion. Psylords, of course, was a big series in the 90s for Valiant. And when I was asked to relaunch it, I went back and reread all of the 90s version of Psylords. I really enjoyed it. I can see why I remember I hadn't read it when it first came out, but just having been with Valiant since it was relaunched in 2012 when I did Archer Armstrong, which was one of the first four rebooted titles that Valiant Entertainment brought out. A lot of the creators at the summit said that Psylords was their favorite Valiant comic. And I could see why, because it's this very interesting story about it's the future version of what was called this group called Hardcore from the present day Valiant universe, where and Hardcore, which is one of the best premises in the Valiant universe, if you ask my opinion, not that you did, but in Hardcore, the characters have all been given these implants that allow different superpowers to be beamed down to them from a satellite in space. But in the future, nanotechnology allows Hardcore to issue the satellite altogether and simply inject nanites into themselves that have all these superpowers. So they have this diner menu of superpowers. You know, they can fly, they're immortal, they have healing factors, they can shoot laser beams from their face, so on and so forth. And so they go out into colonized human space and they kind of take over as these benign dictators. And the series does a great job of sort of addressing honestly the political situation that would arise from these supermen who decide totally on their own to become benevolent dictators. You know, some people are cool with that, but a lot of people are not. And so they've got to deal with all these different enemies and alien threats and so forth. And so when Valiant came to me to redo Psylords, they wanted me to very much bring it in the, keep it in the present day of the current Valiant universe, so our characters could interact with everybody else in the Valiant universe, which I was totally down with. But I wanted to bring as much of the spirit of that original series with it as I could, and also the some of the names and some of the concepts, like Scion, for example, this character that our amnesiacs are talking to. That is a name taken from a character in the original series. So run to your long boxes and check that out. And maybe looking at the Scion from the original Psylords will give some spoilers for this one, or will it? I don't know. So moving on the actual comic, again, another amazing Renato. We're just going to turn the page and I'm just going to be like drooling all over these pages. Artisan opens the door. In his cell, thinking it's the door that leads you to walk out of the place, but in fact, no, it is a door in the floor that drops him to his death. Until, if you turn the page, I love those monsters that Renault came up with, and then again, it's the spectacular. I love this shot of Artisan growing his wings spontaneously. This looks like really it should be in like a, you know, a stained glass. He's like an angel in a stained glass cathedral window somewhere. I just love the bram, bram, bram. I always love these sound effects. They really remind me of like the classic, like Jodorowsky and Mobius, French graphic albums that I loved reading when I was a kid in the 80s that were still in sort of the same, classic hardbound French format. Really, Renato brings a great kind of European sensibility to this, for lack of a better word. You know, science fiction in many ways is to European comics what superheroes have been to American comics. And I really like the idea of kind of merging them together. Originally, these guards had no dialogue. Fun fact. Originally, these guards had no dialogue, but we changed our mind for reasons hopefully I'll remember to tell you before the end of the commentary. So Tank creates Hulk hands. That's amazing. And Hazard on page 10 here goes both invisible and then kind of Wolverines out on these guys. We see here the beginnings of the fact that each one of our four heroes has a power linked to a different aspect of the psyche. Artisans obviously is creation, imagination. Beacons is knowledge and illumination. Hazards is very much sort of the ferocity and almost irrationality of the life force, which paradoxically also can be, you know, a cause of death. I'm thinking something like the Amazon jungle, which is teeming with life, but is also extremely deadly. Like there's 700 things there that can kill you. Ditto for Hazard. And Tanks is a little bit more, he's more of a protector. He's sort of the guardian of the threshold. And so, that's something that takes a little bit more time to sort of explicate, but his ability to project force fields in the form of Hulk hands, definitely has a lot to do with that. If you turn the page, I love this insane vault door, which looks like it could eat you whole, that Renato has come up with. It's just incredible. And for the first time, the characters interact with each other. And as you can see from the dialogue, it's a little tricky to make people realize that these people are meeting each other for the first time and they don't understand who they are. And they have strange names like Tank and Hazard and Artisan. Although they have those names for extremely good reasons that will be coming up. I love this amazing shot of Beacon walking across this gulf between the cells and the vault door on this sort of beam of light she's created. Very early on, what was fun because they've been experimented on, right? That all their heads obviously have been shaved, and so obviously they're, you know, spoiler alert, their hair is going to grow back. If you've seen any of the covers, you can see what their hair looks like. But here, their hair hasn't grown back yet. But I also originally like, just because they're essentially guinea pigs, I like the idea of them all being barefoot, and there's a curious sort of vulnerability to people running around barefoot. To me, it just only enhances the feeling of power you get from them because, you know, they don't need to worry about stepping on Legos or something when they're barefoot and getting in pain. Like, you know, once it makes them vulnerable and sort of like almost, you know, super powerful, sort of the way, you know, Dr. Manhattan and Watchmen basically goes naked for almost the entire book because he does not need any clothes. He is a super person. Ditto to a certain degree for our super people, but one of the things I should say we took from the original Psylords series from the 90s was that each one of the characters had color-coded their powers to their uniform, and we sort of took that here. So Beacon obviously is yellow, Artisan is orange, Tank is green, and Hazard is red. You can see that now here on whatever page this is we're on. Page numbers because I'm doing this from the Apple iDrive. So if you turn the page, our heroes escape their cells and they make their way up to this wonderfully gloopy David Cronenberg-y neo-biological lab. Again, this is Renato just taking the barest minimum of description from me and just going nutso with it and just blowing me away. And here we actually meet the Scion, this guy who's the voice in their heads. And I will point out, and perhaps this is significant, but that uniform Scion is wearing, which you can see both here and a little bit better on the next page, is the original Psylords uniform from the 90s series. What's the significance of that, you may ask? Well, I'm not going to tell you. It's a commentary, not spoiler-ary, spoilantary, that's a thing. Oh, hell no. Okay. Who says that? I don't know. But I like it. And, you know, I just like the idea of the older sort of Obi-Wan Kenobi character saying, here, I'm going to explain everything to you. And then immediately gets shot in the head. I hate it when that happens. You know, he was about to tell us everything, but nope, he's cut down. And then all of these troops, these evil guards come through. And then we just have this amazing double page read from Renato, where you see Tank waiting in and Artisan firing his guns and Hazard clawing and Beacon zapping them with rays. And it's just, I mean, come on. This is amazing. Can I get a poster of this, please? Kids, write to Valiant. Get me a poster of this amazing double page spread. And then you can get a poster too. So our heroes prevail, but not without Scion succumbing to his wounds. And Beacon, I love Beacon's expressions. She has a great expression here as he passes and says that they're not really very good gods if they can't bring people back to life, and who would argue with her? And she realizes that, like barcodes you can find in a supermarket, products in the supermarket, if she has a barcode in her arm and she can generate energy, she can zap the barcode with lasers and read what's on there. And sure enough, she discovers this shuttle type craft that appears to have the, United Nations symbol on it. And also here we have Hazard, can't control herself, can't control her rages, which, I believe is going to be foreshadowing, for later on. You can see that she and Artisan are starting to form a friendship here, while, Beacon continues watching this video, which I was inspired to do by the, there's an image, very famous image. I believe it's on the Pioneer spacecraft that Carl Sagan came up with. It's basically a nude adult man, a nude adult woman, and sort of, symbols representing our carbon-based nature, and basically a little map of the solar system, on a plaque. This is on a metal plaque that's going to survive going out into space when the space probe gets sent out. That this space probe, which I believe was sent out in the late 70s, early 80s, had this plaque on it. And so the idea was that if aliens got their hold on this plaque, they could take a look at it and be like, oh, so you look like these are two versions of you, and this is where you are, and you're made out of carbon. And you use base 10 numerals and so forth. So this is sort of like that, but this is sort of more, this is the 21st century version of that. Showing where Earth is and where all of the four characters come from. They turn out to be four astronauts. Beacon is a French woman. We learn later that her parents were from Senegal, I believe. Tank is Russian, which is going to come up later. Hazard is from NASA in the US. And Artisan, as opposed to, there was some advanced character stuff that was released online by Valiant, and this was an oversight of mine due to a typo error that I failed to correct. Artisan went out as being from NASA. He is not. Artisan is a Chinese national, and he's with the Chinese Space Agency. So each one of these four guys comes from a different space agency, which may be important. That's interesting. What's that all about? With the following page turn, with Hazard making this horrible this surprising revelation when she takes the guards' helmets off, we discover that these people are in fact not human but aliens. If you are locked in on the, I often wonder about the point of having these kinds of revelations in actual comics, because I feel like people who've read solicits and like read interviews or know really anything about the comic sort of know they're trapped in space, and probably therefore by aliens. But, you know, I'm oftentimes surprised as a writer at how little people know about stuff. They bought it because they were a fan of the 90s series, or they like Valiant, or like me, or like Renato, or they just like the title, like the cover. So maybe for some people, and you perhaps, it was like, oh, hey, wow, that's interesting. There's aliens. And so I mentioned earlier the aliens can speak English, and that's because they've encountered Earth people before. These characters were originally introduced in Matt Kent's Exo Manowar series. They're called the Monomen. And they were on the planet Exo was on to find this sort of mysterious symbol that he wound up giving to them and forestalling a war. And if you'll notice closely, that symbol from that arc of Exo Manowar is actually the same symbol that has been mysteriously branded into the back of the skulls of each one of the quartet in this issue, Silence Number One. So that's some deep cut stuff going on there. You know, I'm here to lay that wisdom down on you. And at this point, our heroes and the reader, if they haven't, you know, read an interview before and haven't figured out, realize they are orbiting. They're in space and they appear to be orbiting a blue dwarf star, which is a currently hypothetical state or stage of a star's lifespan. It's not good. You are definitely in the twilight of your years if you are a star in the blue dwarf phase. And we'll learn next issue that this is what's known as what they call a vampire star, and that it's sort of sucking away the energy of all of these different ships that are surrounding it. And this star is sort of in itself the prison, and it's preventing all these ships and these shipwrecks from escaping its orbit. And that's why we have this blurb for next issue saying the Sargasso of space, the Sargasso Sea being famously here on Earth somewhere, this sort of range of really, it's really heavy seaweed where ships and stuff get caught. So I wish I could say more, but I feel like that's enough spoilers for one commentary. Thank you very much for listening. Again, thanks to Ben for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. And if you have any questions at all, you can drop me a line through my website. My email is on there, and my website is just my name, fredvanlenti.com. So that's great, and I hope you pick up Silords and keep reading and keep enjoying it and keep letting me know what you think. So thanks a lot, and keep looking for the stars, guys.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.